Good evening. Reading from Proverbs some this week gives us an opportunity to once again review a little bit about the nature of biblical wisdom. And I like to think about this pretty often because it's easy for us on the one hand to think, okay, what are the strict commands of God? And I just want to do the commands of God. But what do you do when you come across something that doesn't have a strict command and you're forced to discern, you're forced to consider what my options are? Should I do this? Should I not do that? Should I act this way? Should I not act this way? The Bible doesn't spell out every single detail of every action we might face. And so wisdom is required. And we're taught in Hebrews 5 and verse 12 to discern good and evil, to make those judgment calls sometimes that we have to look at it from the principles of God's word and see what the Lord has to say. And this is where wisdom comes in. In Psalm 90, when Moses was talking about the fact that the children of Israel had gone through the wilderness and by the wrath of God, they've been consumed and so forth, and all of our days are like a fury, he makes this point to teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And that ought to be our goal. That ought to be something that we want to gain as well, a heart of wisdom. And that's especially the case as we look at difficult times that we face, trials and temptations and issues that come our way. Teach us that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So with that in mind, I want to turn over to Proverbs, the 8th chapter. Proverbs chapter 8, and I want to read a few verses from here, and we're looking at this issue of how wisdom calls. You know, people talk about their calling sometime. Wisdom has a call as well, and the question is, are we listening? And so Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 1 beginning, does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud, "To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. From my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They're all straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her." Wisdom calls. It's personified. So think about it as if you're walking down the street and there's somebody calling out to you. But the thing that we're going to see here is there are competing voices. There are competing calls in this world. One is a call of folly and the other is a call of wisdom. And we are called upon then to hear the wisdom, to hear the knowledge, to hear the truth, and to make that choice and to make our life reflect that. And so I want us to understand, first of all, that there is a value of wisdom as a skill and a way of life. Don't think of wisdom as something that's just kind of lofty and far off over here, but think of it as a way of living. Think of it as a skill that you might even have. I love these passages over in Exodus chapter 28, because I want to illustrate again the idea that wisdom really in Scripture is connected to the idea of having a skill. And so in Exodus chapter 28 and verse 3, talking about the garments of the priests, we read that you shall speak to all the skillful persons whom I have endowed with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him and that he may minister as priest to me. So I need somebody to make the garments of the priests, and this person is going to have the spirit of wisdom. This person is going to have skill in making these garments the way that they're supposed to be made. And then if we turn over to chapter 31, we see something very similar here. Chapter 31, in the first six verses, where God speaks to Moses and says, I have called by name Bezalel, and he tells us who he is. And he says in verse 3, I've filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship. So I don't think he's saying that Bezalel is the person necessarily that you're going to go to for all the wisdom of the philosophical wisdom of the world. It's that he is a person who is really skilled in craftsmanship. He has the knowledge and understanding of what it takes to help make the things of the ark and the altar and the tabernacle and so forth. And we keep reading that God says, I have filled him with this to make artistic designs for work in gold and silver and in bronze and in the cutting of stones for settings and the carving of wood, that he may work in all kinds of craftsmanship. And he talks about others that he has appointed with him. And toward the end of verse 6, in the hearts of all who are skillful, I have put skill. And that word there, again, for skillful basically means one who is wise of heart. And he says that that they may make all that I have commanded you. So they have skill. They have wisdom in a particular craft that they're involved in. And so I want us to think about wisdom kind of in that way. And in that sense, we might think about people who have skills, different skills at different tasks, because they know what they're doing. You have your go-to person. When you have a trouble over here and you need that troubleshooted, or you have a computer problem over here, or you got a car problem here, you go to this person. Why? Because you're confident that this is the person who knows what they're doing. They have a skill. They have wisdom in that particular field. So that's the way this works. And what I want us to see about that is that the wisdom God is calling us to have. Now, I may not be the best artist in the world. If you've seen me try to draw, you know what I'm talking about. But what God is calling all of us to have is not necessarily skill and craftsmanship here or to have the ability, but to be skillful at living life. To be skillful in the things of God. To develop wisdom in making the kinds of choices that glorify God. That's what we're talking about here. Do you have skill at making good decisions? That's the question. Now, you know people, and we've all, you know, there are people we say, well, you know, they just constantly are making bad decisions. They don't have wisdom. They don't have the skill to do that with. And so it is something that we learn. It is something that we grow in. It is something that we pursue. It's not that you're born with wisdom and skill at making decisions. You're not making decisions yet as an infant. But there reaches a point as you grow and as you learn, you're striving to make the kinds of decisions that you know will glorify God. And that's what we're talking about, developing a skill at glorifying God. And that takes time and effort as well. And so wisdom is calling, and wisdom is saying, I want you to develop wisdom. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 3, and I won't read all these verses. Appreciate Alex for reading from the first part of chapter 3 tonight. Because again, I could just read the first 9 chapters here and we'll be done. This is rich. Every verse here is rich with lessons for us. But I want you to see, in really starting in verse 13, the sense of value that this has. You pursue things that you recognize are valuable. If you think a certain skill is going to be valuable to you, you're going to pursue that. If you think a certain area of education is going to be valuable to you, you're going to pursue that. And what we all need to do as Christians is recognize that there is value to wisdom that we need to seek and pursue. Verse 13, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. Now let me stop right there and just note, how many people in this world make efforts to figure out how best to invest their resources and money? Why do we do that? Well, because we recognize there's value to that. And what he's telling us here is finding wisdom is greater than that. Finding wisdom is better than that. More precious than jewels, verse 15 says. Nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. And may I just say right there, it's really the notion that when you make the right kinds of decisions, life is more pleasant for you. Life goes smoother. It's not to say that you never face difficulties and problems or face the backlash of what other people do. That's not the point. But the point is, when you learn to make the right kinds of decisions, over time, things are smoother for you. Things are better for you. And that's what he's telling us right here. Her ways are pleasant. Notice verse 18. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. A tree of life. Think about the nature of the tree of life in the Garden of Eden and how beautiful that would have been. It's life-giving. And then the idea that the tree of life is in the paradise of God in Revelation 22. And again, how beautiful of a picture that is. And God is saying, my wisdom is part of this tree of life. Take hold of it. You'll be happy. You'll be blessed if you do that. And then he tells us it's by wisdom that the Lord founded the earth, and by understanding he established the heavens. So when we seek wisdom, we are seeking that which comes from God in the first place. I mean, James 1 and verse 5 makes the point that if we're lacking wisdom, we need to ask God. He's the source of this kind of wisdom. And so it's by his wisdom, by his understanding, by his knowledge. And so verse 21 says, my son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you'll not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. God will be on your side when you're seeking his wisdom. And God will help you through the trials and difficulties when you're seeking his wisdom. So we need to see wisdom here, not just as something that you occasionally exercise. Once in a while, you do something. Even a fool can do that. Even a fool can occasionally do a wise thing. But our effort here is not to do a wise thing now and then. Our effort is to make wisdom a way of life, a way of thinking, a way of doing things, a way of making decisions so that it's always before us and in front of us. This is what the Lord wants for us. We're developing it as a skill, as a habit, as a way of living. And that's going to help us in everything else that we do. See the value of that. Wisdom is calling. Do we hear it? Of course, Proverbs has a lot to say about wisdom as it's in contrast to folly. We could turn back to chapter 1. And again, you could read through the bulk of Proverbs and you'll see many, many contrasts between the wise and the fool. But I want to read a few verses here, beginning in verse 20. And notice again how it starts this. Wisdom shouts in the street. Wisdom is calling, right? Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates of the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I'll make my words known to you. I love that phrase, I'll pour out my spirit on you. It sounds a little bit like Acts 2, does it not? God pouring out his spirit upon mankind. And so wisdom is part of this process that God has in store for us here. Behold, I called, verse 24, I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. Now, in our modern way of doing things, we might say that, someone called, you picked up your cell phone, you saw who it was, and you hung up and put it back in your pocket. Wisdom calls and says, you refuse to answer. You didn't listen to me. Verse 25, you neglected my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, they'll call on me, but I'll not answer. They'll seek me diligently, but they'll not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Now, bear in mind that the foundation of all wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Chapter 1 and verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. See, that we get on the path of folly when we start mocking wisdom. You know, it's that... that kind of that mentality that when someone is trying to tell us what to do, we start rolling our eyes back and we start mocking and mimicking and this kind of a thing. We're on our path to folly right there. And when we do that to our parents, we're on our path to folly. We're on our path to making some really bad decisions that are going to hurt us. And so wisdom says, this is it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Then in chapter 9 and verse 10, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So a proper reverence and respect, even a trembling at God, is the beginning of having wisdom. But wisdom says, you didn't want that. You didn't choose the fear of the Lord. They didn't accept my counsel. They spurned my reproof. So verse 31 of chapter 1 says, so they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. It's like wisdom comes back at some point and says, well, how did that work out for you? Not too well, huh? We get so proud and arrogant, we've got to do things our way. We think that we've got the better solutions to everything, and so we don't want to listen to anybody. And wisdom comes along and says, I tried. I called, but you refused. So it's helpful to us to see this contrast between folly and wisdom, to understand that not all paths are the same. Not all paths are alike. And if we're going to choose the way of wisdom as a way of life, we've got to avoid making folly a way of life too, making that the foolish decisions something that just kind of we've made second nature to us. We just make bad decisions because we're so into that kind of thing. And our lives go downhill. God is saying, I'm offering you the best of life here. I'm trying to help you understand what it means to live a good life. But that's up to you to make that decision. And so, he says, get wisdom. Turn over to chapter 4. In verse 1, hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding, for I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son on the side of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Some translations just say, get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will guard you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is get wisdom. And with your getting, get understanding. You can just hear this father pleading with a son. Please listen to me. And again, I realized that, you know, as children, and I can remember, you know, there were times when I would think when I was younger, I'll never say that to my kids. And guess what? I said it to my kids. Because we realize that there's a certain kind of wisdom that comes with living life. And parents invariably know more than their children. And they're trying to pass that on because they love their children. And those children will grow up and have children, and they'll do the same with their children. But this is God's plan. This is God's intention, that from one generation to the next, wisdom gets passed on. That's the way it's supposed to be. Unfortunately, it's not always like that. But God says, get wisdom. Make some determinations. Make a decision to pursue this. And if you honor wisdom, you'll be honored as well. And notice again, verse 10, hear my son and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I'm trying to help you, trying to get you to understand that this is going to give you the best life that you can have. Verse 20, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. That's one of the most well-known proverbs right there. Watch your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, because out of the heart, this is what Jesus taught in Matthew 15. It's from the heart that come these wickedness and sins and so forth. Out of the heart of man. It's out of the heart that we speak. The things that we say to people. The kinds of the thoughts that we have that eventually come out. Guard your heart. Get wisdom, in other words. Put away these other things that are going to impede your progress. In verse 25, he says, let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed in front of you. You know, we think about that when you're, you know, the athletes who are running a race and the fact that they need to keep their eyes on the finish line. As we talk about the idea of pressing on this year, that's one of the things. Last year we were talking about fixing our eyes on Jesus, and this year we're pressing on to that goal. Where are our eyes? They're still on Jesus. Fixed straight ahead toward the goal, because we're going to finish. And we're going to do it with God's help and with God's strength and wisdom. Get wisdom. Chapter 5 and verse 1. My son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may observe discretion and your lips may reserve knowledge. Again, get wisdom. Make sure that you've got the goal set. One of the things that I love about the way wisdom is portrayed is in chapter 7 through 9. We're really talking here about what we might just call lady wisdom, because she's personified as a woman here. And that's over against the woman of folly that we read about there in chapter 7 and 8. And this is all leading to a conclusion, of course, that we really need to be seeking the real person of wisdom, as it were. But Lady Wisdom calls. And so we come back here to chapter 7. My son, verse 1, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your intimate friend, that they may keep you from an adulteress, from the foreigner who flatters with her words. Now, we said at the beginning that we have competing voices here in the world. There's the voice of wisdom over here, personified as a woman who's calling out to you. You're walking down the street, and you got all these voices coming at you. And wisdom is over here saying, I want to show you discretion. I want to show you wisdom. I want to show you the way of God. And at the same time, you've got the woman of folly over here being a seductress. I'm trying to call you over to me. I want you to have fun. You know, we're going to make this a great thing over here. And of course, you know the outcome of that. Verse 6, chapter 7. For at the window of my house, I looked out through my lattice and I saw among the naive and discerned among the youths a young man lacking sense, passing through the street near her corner, and he takes the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, and in the darkness, and behold, a woman comes to meet him, dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart, and she's boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. You get the picture. She's out there to seduce him. Come and let us drink our fill in verse 18. It's that kind of a picture that you're getting here. This is what folly is doing, is calling you and saying, this is going to feel good. This is going to be really sweet. You know, you need to come try this. And the sad thing is, look at verse 22. Suddenly he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool, until an arrow pierces through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, he does not know it will cost him his life. One of the things that wisdom does is it teaches us to look ahead. To understand that there are consequences that we face down the road for various choices that we may make. And we know, we've all faced consequences of choices, bad choices we've made. And that becomes an inevitable thing. And so wisdom is over here saying, let me keep you from that kind of heartache. Let me help you. Listen to me. 24, verse 24, pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for many are the victims she has cast down, and numerous are her slain. Her house is the way to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. If we could just see the end of where things lead, if we could understand what sin does to our souls, if we could really see what it does, would we make those choices? We're not thinking of those things when we make those bad choices, are we? We're thinking of the here and now. We're thinking of what it's going to feel like right now. And we may even think, in the folly of our decision-making at that point, I'll just deal with the consequences later. Not realizing how foolish that becomes. And so that's what follows up with, does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice? Wisdom is saying, listen to me. Chapter 9 and verse 1 says, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has prepared her food. She has mixed her wine. She has set her table. She has sent out her maidens. She calls from the tops of the heights of the city. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, she says, come, eat of my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake your folly and live and proceed in the way of understanding. That's what wisdom is saying. Forsake your folly and live. You want life? You want good life? Forsake folly. Proceed in the way of understanding. Get wisdom. Find the way of God. One of the things that I've been impressed with in Proverbs over the years is that not only does it give us this picture of wisdom calling out to us in the beginning of the book, but when we come to the end of the book, we find wisdom that is embodied. A real person with wisdom. Practical, effective, and beautiful. And it's interesting because by the end here in chapter 31, it is a mother giving advice to her son. You know, earlier we saw the father saying, "Son, listen to me." Now, it's a mother talking to her son, a mother talking to a king, as it were. The oracle which King Lemuel's mother taught to him. But verses 10 through the end actually forms an acrostic. There are 22 verses there. There are 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And each verse begins with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. We can't see it because we're reading English, but that's what it is. And so it's actually a beautiful poem. And it's a poem of this great woman of wisdom. Years ago, a brother made the point that, you know, Proverbs teaches the man to marry two women. The first is the concept of wisdom, the wisdom that we read about in chapter 7, 8, 9. In other words, wed yourself to godly wisdom first, and then wed yourself to the real woman of wisdom. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he'll have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She's like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor and stretches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. A beautiful picture. And notice what it says in verse 30, a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. What did we already see about fearing the Lord? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is a strong woman. And you might look at that and say, well, boy, this is a lot. I mean, does anybody... Well, bear in mind that he's showing us this is what someone who practices wisdom, someone who's been practicing the wisdom that we've been reading about earlier in Proverbs, by the time you get to this point, a person who practices that, is skilled at that, has learned that, grows in that, this is what you're looking at. This is the person that this becomes, who practices wisdom. And God says, this is what I want. A beautiful picture of the embodiment of what wisdom truly is. So God says, get wisdom. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Find ways to learn about wisdom and read Proverbs regularly, because it's filled with it. And when we are gaining wisdom, it's not a matter of, do I have to obey this command? Do I have to do... It's looking at God's way and saying, this is a way of life for me. I want to do everything I can to glorify Him. I fear the Lord. I want the wisdom and the knowledge that He grants. I want the understanding. And I want to be able to practice these things with skill. This is what God is looking for. And so may he help us to practice that. We're going to sing a song here in just a moment. Think about your relationship with God. There is no wiser choice you can make in life than to choose to serve him. Choose the fear of the Lord, and it's going to help your life. It doesn't matter what the culture around you is doing. You're focused, you're straight ahead, focused on doing what is right. And maybe tonight you need to be baptized into Christ. Maybe tonight you need to seek the Lord, and we can help you do that. Let us know as we stand.